Lesson number 13. Fasting. Objective. Each young man will realize that genuine fasting can bring him great spiritual power and increased blessings from the Lord. Preparation. Materials needed. Scriptures for each young man. A pencil and a piece of paper for each young man. Study carefully Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 through 10. If the Family Home Evening Video Supplement 53276 is available in your area, prepare to show segment 15, The Law of the Fast. Note, fasting is a word that causes many different impressions and feelings in a growing teenage boy. At a time when his appetite is growing, he may find it difficult to observe the fast properly. Emphasize the positive aspects of the fast. The young men should understand the relationship between prayer and fasting, and they should understand that they can improve in observing the law of the fast. Suggested lesson development, a proper fast. Quiz. Give each young man a piece of paper and a pencil. Have the young men number the papers from 1 to 10. Explain that they are going to have a short true-false quiz to see how much they know about fasting. True or false? Number 1. Fasting should always be for 24 hours. Number 2. Fasting should always be accompanied by prayer. Number 3. Fasting can have many purposes. Number 4. Fasting is good for the spirit but bad for the body. Number 5. Fasting is a commandment. Number 6. Fasting is the complete abstinence from food only. Number 7. Everyone over 8 years of age should fast regardless of health. Number 8. Fasting makes prayer more meaningful. Number 9. Prayer makes fasting more meaningful. And number 10. Fasting is easy. Have each young man correct his own paper. Keep comments brief. The correct answers are as follows. Number 1. False. Sometimes it is not possible to fast for a full 24 hours. See Joseph F. Smith, Gospel Doctrine, Salt Lake City, Deseret Book Company, 1939, page 244. Joseph F. Smith, Gospel Doctrine, page 244. The Lord has instituted the fast on a reasonable and intelligent basis, and none of His works are vain or unwise. His law is perfect in this as in other things. Hence, those who can are required to comply thereto. It is a duty from which they cannot escape. But let it be remembered that the observance of the fast day by abstaining 24 hours from food and drink is not an absolute rule. It is no ironclad law to us. But it is left with the people as a matter of conscience to exercise wisdom and discretion. Many are subject to weakness, others are delicate in health, and others have nursing babies. Of such it should not be required to fast. Neither should parents compel their little children to fast. I have known children to cry for something to eat on fast day. In such cases, going without food will do them no good. Instead, they dread the day to come, and in place of hailing it, dislike it, while the compulsion engenders a spirit of rebellion in them, rather than a love for the Lord and their fellows. Better teach them the principle, and let them observe it when they are old enough to choose intelligently, than to so compel them. Number 2. True. See Gospel Doctrine, page 238. Joseph F. Smith, Gospel Doctrine, page 238. For religion is not in believing the commandments only, it is in doing them. I would to God that men would not only believe Jesus Christ and His teachings, but would broaden their belief to the extent of doing the things that are taught by Him and doing them in spirit. He certainly taught fasting, prayer, and helpfulness. No better start can be made than by fasting, praying to God, and sacrificing means for the poor. This law combines belief and practice, faith and works, without which neither Armenian nor Latter-day Saint, neither Jew nor Gentile can be saved. Number 3. True. These will be discussed in the lesson. Number 4. False. Number 5. True. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verse 76. Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verse 76. Number 6. False. Fasting is abstinence from food and drink. See Gospel Doctrine, page 243. Joseph F. Smith, Gospel Doctrine, page 243. The nature and purpose of fasting. The law to the Latter-day Saints, as understood by the authorities of the Church, is that food and drink are not to be partaken of for 24 hours, from even to even, and that the saints are to refrain from all bodily gratification and indulgences. Fast day being on the Sabbath, it follows, of course, that all labor is to be abstained from. In addition, the leading and principal object of the institution of the fast among the Latter-day Saints was that the poor might be provided with food and other necessities. It is, therefore, incumbent upon every Latter-day Saint to give to his bishop on fast day the food that he or his family would consume for the day, that it may be given to the poor for their benefit and blessing, or in lieu of the food, that its equivalent amount, or, if the person is wealthy, a liberal donation in money, be so reserved and dedicated to the poor. Number 7. Faults. See again, Gospel Doctrine, page 244. Number 8. True. Number 9. True. Number 10. Either true or false, depending on how accustomed a person is to fasting. Explain that a proper fast Sunday observance consists of abstaining from food and drink for two consecutive meals, attending fast and testimony meeting, and giving the bishop a generous fast offering contribution to help provide for the needy. Of course, we can also fast at times other than fast Sunday. Miracles can occur through fasting. Scripture story. One time a man brought his son, who was possessed by an evil spirit, to Jesus. The man explained that he had taken his son to Jesus' disciples, but that they could not cast the evil spirit out. After Jesus had cast it out from the boy, the disciples came to him and asked privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" Mark chapter 9, verse 28. What did Jesus say to his disciples? Have one of the young men read Mark chapter 9, verse 29 for the answer. Story. A wealthy young bishop in Honolulu was called one day from the Queen's Hospital to come and bless a boy who had polio. A native sister had called him. He was her bishop. And she said, "Bishop, come up here. My boy is stricken with polio, and I want you to come up here and administer to him and bless him." All day she waited for him, and the bishop never showed up. All night he never showed up. The next morning he never showed up, but early in the afternoon here he came. She turned loose on him. She called him everything she could think of. "You, my bishop, I call you and tell you my boy is here stricken with polio, and you, your own boss, you have your cars, you have a beautiful yacht, you have everything you want, and your time is your own, and you don't show up. You just come now after a whole day." After she had finished and couldn't think of anything more to call him, he smiled and said, "Well, after I hung up the receiver yesterday, I started to fast, and I've been fasting and praying for 24 hours. I'm ready now to bless your boy." At 5 o'clock that evening, the boy was released from the hospital, entirely cured of his polio. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now I doubt very much if he had gone up there the day before that would have happened. I think that prayer and that fasting were needed. Matthew Kelly Speaks, page 150. Story. Explain that the following story tells about some parents who were inspired to bring their son to a general authority for a blessing. A little over a year ago, a couple came into my office carrying a little boy. The father said to me, "My wife and I have been fasting for 2 days, and we've brought our little boy up for a blessing. You are the one we've been sent to." I said, "What's the matter with him?" They said he was born blind, deaf, and dumb. No coordination of his muscles, couldn't even crawl at the age of 5 years. I said to myself, "This is it. This kind cometh not out save by fasting and by prayer." I had implicit faith in the fasting and the prayers of those parents. I blessed that child, and a few weeks later I received a letter. "Brother Cowley, we wish you could see our little boy now. He's crawling. When we throw a ball across the floor, he races after it on his hands and knees. He can see. When we clap our hands over his head, he jumps. He can hear. Medical science has laid the burden down. God had taken over." Matthew Kelly, Miracles, Speeches of the Year, February 18, 1953, pages 7 and 8. How have you seen miracles come through fasting? How have you been blessed by fasting? Explain that not all fasting needs to result in a miraculous healing. There are many other reasons for fasting. In fact, most people fast for reasons other than for healing the sick. Fasting is more than going without food. Chalkboard and discussion. Write the word prayer on the chalkboard and have the young men list as many purposes for which a person might pray as they can. Would this same list apply if we erased the word prayer and wrote the word fasting? Explain that first efforts at fasting can be difficult and frustrating. It may just seem like going without food and drink. However, it is possible to gain real satisfaction through learning about and having spiritual experiences with fasting. The best way to learn the gospel is to live it. At first, most children and young people fast simply because their family does it or because they think it is the right thing to do. They may not have thought about why they should deny themselves food and water for a day. In fact, some people go around all day on Fast Sunday feeling sorry for themselves and wishing that the day were over. Explain that these kinds of thoughts and feelings are normal. However, as we continue to live the law of the fast as we should, it will become more meaningful. What are some things you can do to make your fast a meaningful experience? Write "meaningful fast" on the chalkboard and record the young men's answers. Be sure the following points are considered. Number 1. Have a purpose in fasting. Explain that unless we fast with a purpose, our fasting is nothing but hunger. If the only object is to go without food, then food is what we concentrate on. On the other hand, if our fasting has a purpose, even a simple one, the purpose becomes the focus of our attention. What is the difference between fasting and not eating? Fasting is voluntarily giving up food and drink to humble ourselves and draw nearer to our Heavenly Father. Scripture activity. Assign each young man one or two of the following scriptures. Allow a few minutes for them to read their assigned references. Each one contains a purpose for fasting. Have each young man tell what reason his scripture gives for fasting. You may want to write each reference and brief statement on the chalkboard. Use this list as you discuss what purposes the young men could have in fasting. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 15 and 16. For help to heal the sick. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 and 7. To help the poor. Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. For help to perform ordinances. Mosiah chapter 27, verses 22 through 24. For help to repent. Alma chapter 5, verse 46. For revelation and a testimony. Alma chapter 6, verse 6. To help non-members. Alma chapter 17, verse 3. For the revelation and help to be a better priesthood holder. Alma chapter 17, verse 9. For help to be a better missionary. Alma chapter 45, verse 1. To worship and to express gratitude. Helaman chapter 3, verse 35. For greater humility and faith in Christ. Helaman chapter 9, verse 10. For strength in times of sorrow. Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verse 76. To obey a commandment of the Lord. How has fasting for one of these purposes helped you?
2. Combine prayer with fasting. What is an alloy? A combination of metals that makes an end product stronger than any of the original components by themselves. How has fasting and prayer in combination helped you become stronger? Quotation. Explain that adding fasting to our prayers could be compared to an athlete's getting his second wind. Athletes often speak of gaining a second wind or receiving additional strength after they have given all they could. A basketball player, for example, who plays until he's extremely tired, may either slow down or he can continue to play hard, even though it may be extremely difficult for a time. If he chooses the latter and continues to play hard, he may gain his so-called second wind. This additional strength doesn't come, however, until the player puts forth all he can give, plus a little more. John H. Vandenberg, Fasting, Improvement Era, February 1969, page 71. 3. Bear your testimony. This can be done in a fast and testimony meeting, to a friend or your family, or in a personal journal. 4. Spend time pondering important things. We should recount our blessings, review our righteous goals, and make plans for improvement. 5. End the fast with prayer. Conclusion, quotation, and discussion. Elder Thorpe B. Isaacson stated, "Fasting consists in the complete abstinence from food and drink. Fasting, with prayer, its companion, is designed to increase spirituality, to foster a spirit of devotion and a love of God, to increase faith in the hearts of men, thus assuring divine favor, to encourage humility and contrition of soul, to aid in the acquirement of righteousness, and to teach man his dependence upon God, and to hasten along the plan of salvation those who properly comply with this law of fasting." In Conference Report, April 1962, page 67. Ask the young men the following questions. To what degrees are we to abstain from food and drink when we fast? Completely. What is the companion to fasting? Prayer. How has fasting increased your spirituality and faith? How has fasting helped you become more humble? How has fasting helped you learn your dependence upon God? Conclusion. Challenge. Challenge the young men to choose a specific purpose for fasting and to make prayer an important part of their experience the next time they fast. End of Lesson 13, Fasting.